Enjoyed your presentation, Matt. A number of years ago, when I first moved to Dallas, we had what we called the Metroplex Project. And we announced at the Labor Day meeting that we wanted everyone to help us locate everybody in the Dallas-Fort Worth area that used to attend worship scripture, but no longer attended anywhere or somewhere far off. Well, we had so many names on that particular list. Brother Bryans and I worked together. Brother Brian Burns and myself worked together. We spent all day, every day on Thursday, once a week, and it took 8 months. We visited every one of those people. The number one question, we told them we're not there to, you know, create any problem. We're just there to find out how they got from point A in the church to point B outside. And if they would tell us, we would benefit by it. Well, the highest percentage of people said they relocated. They moved from point A to point B, and then they just got out of the habit of going. And then there were, you know, some mentioned conflicts and church troubles, etc. But I did find a very high percentage of people moving into going for work into town from other areas, going to work or going to school. And it was one of the biggest mistakes was parents who sent their kids off to college without going there and getting them into a, with the congregation. And a number of people came back with multiple visits. No one came back after one visit. It took 2, 3, and 4 visits. But once they saw we were genuinely interested, they did come back, and we just encouraged them to go to the closest congregation. So that is one area that maybe we could focus in different areas to reach the wayward, to just find out who all is in Oklahoma City area, who's no longer attending, and then help out that way. So that's I would just then.
Thank you. I wanted to get your take on something. I appreciate your talk very much. One of the things that I've struggled with and had difficulties in certain situations, you recognize members that aren't involved, and you have difficulty sometimes figuring out a way to get them involved. They don't seem to want to get involved. And then they end up leaving, and the rumor is, or the word you get back is, that they were neglected while they were there. Uh-huh. And I'd like your input on what do you do in situations like that? How do you get people involved, or at least avoid them feeling like they were neglected?
Right. Well, I don't know if I have the magic answer for that. I mean, I think all of us have struggled with that at times. The one thing I do think is important on that, they may not click with one individual like you, for example, or me. But it's not the job of just the preacher. It's the job of every single member to be reaching out to that person. And maybe you don't have the way of relating to them or whatever, but maybe somebody else will. And so that's just the thing that kind of flashes into my mind, is it does need to be a congregational-wide approach to incorporating people. So,
good job, Matt. Thank you. I wonder if you might comment on when individuals sometimes depart for a number of those reasons, or when it crosses those categories, how we identify and how we go ahead and go about responding.
I don't know. I think each individual case maybe has its own background to it, I imagine. And I don't know if you have some particular example in mind or something like that. In that particular parable, gives us those different perspectives on reaching out. And the first two are pretty aggressive, and so you go after them. And I think in taking those steps, if you find that you're dealing with a prodigal, then you're going to find there's not a lot more you can do. And if you find that you're not, then you'll find exactly what you do need to do, maybe, to help them come back. I like Alan's point, though, that it takes more than one visit. I mean, these situations are complicated, and they're hard to understand. And sometimes it takes a lot of visits and understanding, maybe from family or friends or something, they can help you understand, too.
That was really good, Matt. I enjoyed it. I don't know for sure if this helps on Justin's question, but I think there's another perspective that we need to be aware of in these three examples in this parable, and that's the perspective of the person who's lost. The sheep who's lost knows he's lost. He's wandered off. Mm-hmm. He knows he's lost, but he doesn't know the way back. And so it takes someone to go find out what happened, and that's also why it takes more than one visit. Mm-hmm. You might not know if this is a sheep or a coin when you first go.
Right.
The coin doesn't know it's lost, and that's, you're going to have a different approach when you're looking for this coin than, mm-hmm. or when you find this coin than you do when you find the sheep.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that might help to understand the perspective of the lost person. The prodigal son, he knows he's lost, and he's lost on purpose, mm-hmm. and there's no point in talking to him until he comes to himself.
Yeah.
But anyway, I don't know if that helps or not, but it seems like that perspective is looking at it from the other way around.
Enjoyed your talk, Matt.
Thank you.
On the idea of incorporating new members into the congregation, traditionally, I think one of the ways just kind of seems simple to men who are converted to start asking them to lead a prayer, lead a song, do something in the public worship. But I'm wondering if sometimes that may, in the long run, prove disadvantageous because, you know, especially if they're from a non-church background or denominational background, we study with them, we teach them publicly and privately about the importance of the assembly, and it seems like some, for whatever reason down the road, not very far, might, you know, stop assembling regularly, work maybe even repeatedly, and so we get in a position where we feel like, you know, we can't call on them any longer, and sometimes they leave. They get upset. They're young in the faith, and I was wondering if what your thoughts are. Maybe we should wait months, or maybe even a little bit longer before we started calling on people. Because ultimately, our concern is not that they feel so good that we're calling on them, but we want to preserve their soul in the long run.
Yeah, that's right. That's a very good point. I think there's very little damage in going slow as far as incorporating them into that particular part of the work. And so I don't mind. I like to go slow on that. And a lot of times, I don't bring it up. I wait for them to bring it up. And sometimes it takes them a while to even think of that, you know? And so that's the way I've tried to approach it anyway. I like going slow, and I just let them let me know kind of where they are. And I'm not pushing for that right off the bat or something, you know, putting a guy up Wednesday after he's baptized on Sunday to lead a song or something like that's probably not a good idea. Going slow is much, much better, I think. So thank you, Brett.
One thing that I have heard from people that I've talked to who have left the church, was a feeling of a lack of hospitality. We are often good about being hospitable to people who are traveling, who come and visit the church, but people who are there sometimes feel neglected in that manner.
That's a great point. That's why it has to be a congregational thing, and congregations that are never in each other's homes are going to really be limited in their ability to do a lot of different works, one of which is incorporating new members. And so hospitality is, I don't know how many times it's commanded in the New Testament, quite a few places where it's taught about. So it should be common among us. Good point.
This more specifically will address what Brother Nathan asked, because that is a problem about people claiming they were neglected and not included, etc. In our Metroplex project in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, when I could call people in advance, let them know I was coming so as not to catch them by surprise and things of that nature, it became very common that some people who I didn't even know at the time, they were sending cards saying, "We miss you at church." One lady, I went in to see her and her husband. They had four or five kids, too. But when I went in on their coffee table, they had 6 or 8 cards. Half of them were from one lady at church. I had no idea she was sending them. But that went a long way to bringing that family back.
I can imagine.
And trying to avoid people from feeling left out and all that, if we can make public announcements that will fit their category, as well as send them a very nice, polite card, not an encyclopedia, but just a nice short card, but let them know we love them, we want them involved, and if they have any suggestions, we're open to their suggestions for discussion, and more or less try to pull them in, and then if they choose to leave, there's nothing we can really do. We've tried our best. So I thought I may just throw that in for whatever it might be worth.
Good, thank you.